Greetings, everyone. I wanted to take a little bit of time before we started the episode to give a couple thanks to two new Patreon pledges. The first one is Artful iPhotography Community, and the other one is Bob Richter. I will be adding their names to our producer list on this episode and going forth. So I just wanted to say thank you, and here we go. This is episode 239 on January 25th, 2018.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Dave Podner.
I'm Greg McMillan.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Hey, Matt, how are you doing, bud?
I'm good, Joe. How are you? Why do you ask?
Well, it's funny because you're about 4 feet away from me inside my house.
I know. You should really stop poking me. It's weird.
Joe, the call's coming from inside the house.
I'm not hearing voices. I'm seeing Matt. Yeah, Matt's actually here with me recording. He had a business trip, and so he was able to pop in, fed him dinner, and said, "Hey, why don't you just record with me?" And I said, "I don't know how it's going to work, but so far it's working."
Yeah, this is definitely cool. This is a podcast episode I will always remember.
Yeah, hopefully for the good things. So let's go around the table and see how everybody's doing. We'll start with you, Greg. How have you been?
I've been well, enjoying my week off work, but the weather has been less than stellar. We had really, really mild weather. We had, I keep trying to convert this to Fahrenheit for you guys. I would say it was probably close to 40 degrees or more. And rain and all our snow went away except for the snow banks. And then one day within 12 hours, we had a flash freeze come through and it started snowing again. And photo opportunities have just gone out the window.
That was the picture that you
posted.
That's
the only picture I took was out the window to show you guys what it was
doing.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's been a typical January in Canada.
That's a South Carolina snow right there. Has to freeze first, and then the snow comes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, up here, it's really nice if there's a lot of snow and it's nice and white. But as soon as it gets mild and the snow gets a little brown, and it's horrible. So I haven't been able to, get out and do anything really.
Yeah. Well, hopefully things change and you get about 3 feet of snow and then you'll have plenty of pictures to take.
I wouldn't even mind that. As long as I can get out and shoot some photos, I'd be happy.
Oh, yeah. Dave, what you been up to?
Well, look, our local museum, the Carnegie Museum of, they're actually combined natural history and art. Arts. Has a new thing this year where every third Sunday they're having free admission to the library. I mean, not to the library, but to the museums. So we took advantage of that last Sunday. Got there before the crowds got too bad, and got a good chance to take some nice varied type of photos too, where. We were able to get through the Hall of Architecture. So you have the large concrete forms of famous statues and such. We went through the Hall of Minerals and around the dinosaurs.
Nice.
And so we were able to get, trying a little bit of everything, trying to get the right photo, especially, and I can understand why. Having in this case a wide lens would be a big help in a small area like this.
Yeah. Or even like doing like a small panoramic photo.
Right. Yeah. Well, I tried the panoramic on a couple of different ones, But part of the problem is that you're so close, you can see the bend in the photo.
Oh, yeah.
Because you really couldn't step that far away, especially from some of the taller pieces. So you basically had that nice little bend, which kind of distorts the photo. So yeah, having one of those wide angle lenses definitely would have been a help in that situation too.
Yeah.
Honestly, with some of the gem area, having a macro lens would definitely help with some of the small details, but they all turned out pretty good.
Well, good. Yeah, I remember when I went to the Smithsonian Air and Space over at Dulles, and I had gotten the Olo clip for Christmas, and I forgot it. I was like so bummed. I was like, oh man, the one place that I could have like really taken it out and really tried to, you know, put it through its paces, and I forgot. And I was like, oh. I think that's worse, I think, than not having something, you know, is to have something and not use it.
That's painful.
It is. I never forget it.
But so, yeah, knowing something's just that close, thinking, hey, I have the perfect, oh.
Yeah.
I guess I don't.
When you reach into your pocket and it's not there, you're like, no. Oh, so. Matt, how have you been?
I've been mostly good. It's been kind of an eventful week in the last week. So I'm currently in I'm in South Carolina, but I'm on a business trip in North Carolina, and I drove instead of flying specifically so that I could come and hang out with you, Joe. And I had another part of the trip after I'm finished with work tomorrow that I was going to do, but it seems like everything was conspiring against me. So I did manage to get out and do a little bit of photography last weekend. We did some hiking and visited this old house that kind of looks like a castle. It's in a park like up near Cleveland, so we went there and I took a bunch of pictures, and then also the serpentine belt on my car broke. So that added like a ton of stress to my Sunday and my Monday as I, you know, scrambled to get that fixed so that I could drive to North Carolina on Tuesday. Tuesday morning, as I'm getting ready to leave, we discover that my son is super sick. So he ended up being diagnosed with the flu and an ear infection. Oof. So I feel bad for my wife. She's been home all week taking care of him. But when I did get down to North Carolina on Tuesday, instead of going to my hotel, I decided I really need to get a little bit of exercise. It's like a 7.5 hour drive. So I went to a state park that was just a little bit west of where I'm staying and got to hike up to the top of this really cool mountain that had like all these really neat cliffs and rock outcroppings. Got to see the sunset up there, and I got a bunch of pictures that I really like. And, so that was pretty fun. And then I had mentioned to Joe that I was thinking about going back out the following morning for sunrise because I didn't have to be anywhere till like noon. And kind of forgetting that Joe had taken off work this week and he only lives like a half hour away from where I was, he said, oh, well, I could come meet you there. So Wednesday morning we met up at early in the morning, got to take some sunrise pictures. We went to this lake in the same state park and did a little hike and did some photography. So that was pretty cool. And now I'm here sitting in his house, 4 feet away from him, on a brand new microphone, whole new setup that I got. And this is pretty cool.
I was going to say, you sounded a lot better. But but I actually can't hear you in my headphones, so that I'd be lying. Yeah, it was fun. We got up dark and early and met at the park right when it opened at 7 o'clock. And I was, you know, I was thinking, oh, we're probably going to, you know, climb to the peak. And it, what I thought was the Crowder Mountain Peak was actually what, King's Point?
Something like that.
It was close by. Yeah, I had climbed that before, but I hadn't really done the Crowder's Mountain actual peak. And so we walked the trail. Matt saw that there was a lake close by, and we went over there, and the sun was where we were on the east side of the lake, and so the sun was coming up over the lake, and so he set up his tripod and was getting the shot, and I was like, you know what, I better take a picture of him, because, you know, people want to see what it looks like, you know, sometimes what the photographer is doing. And so the photo I took is like, it's okay. You know, it shows the scenery and everything, but to contrast it with the final product of what Matt did was awesome. And so, you know, I posted on Facebook that we had, you know, met up, and that we had also, you know, taking some pictures. And so I posted the ones I had, and then Matt posted the shot that he in the comment section of the photo with him in it. And so it was fun to see that. And, you know, I got to see the iPhone 10 and the big moment lens that he had. And I was like, holy cow.
Yeah, so what did you think of that?
Well,
did you think of the 10?
I actually didn't touch it, you know. So Matt
wouldn't let you touch it without that.
Yeah.
Without signing off. Yeah, well, yes, if I break it, I have to sell one of my children to pay for the new one. Yes.
That's right. That's right. Well, the 10, you know, I was standing behind him when he was using it. And what was the app that you're using to capture with?
Halide.
Okay. So he was shooting in RAW. And, you know, and just ever so slightly, he was making some adjustments, and he did some bracketing in order to get the photo. Is that what you did with the final product, was the bracketing? So he was doing an HDR bracket. And so, you know, I got to see, you know, watch him do it. And you know, at first it took me a little bit. I'm like, oh, yeah, he has the 10. I forgot, because it's not that much bigger. It's definitely not as big as the Plus. And so it threw me off, you know, a little bit when I was actually looking at it. I couldn't. Oh, he just handed it to me. Oh, wow. I'm holding his iPhone 10. Ooh. Yeah, no, it's.
Do you have gloves on?
No, I didn't. Because it's slightly bigger. It's not that much bigger, but the screen is huge.
Because you have the 7. You have the 7, right?
Yeah. Now, I've got a good inch of screen from the top that is, that I don't have.
Right.
So it was a lot of fun. It was cold, and I think it was 32 degrees when we first got there.
Yeah, it was freezing. I was not dressed appropriately.
Yeah, I was. I had figured on us going up to one of the peaks, so I kind of dressed lightly, not as heavy as I would if we were just standing around, and so I had a windbreaker type rain jacket on, and I was able to, I'm used to working outside, and so I was okay. And Matt's like, let's keep moving, because I can't feel my fingers. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, let's go. And
welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Well, were.
But it's the south. It's supposed to be warm.
And it was 70 degrees on Sunday. You know, that's the craziness. It was, you know, was it 21 degrees Fahrenheit, Celsius, you know, it was like a crazy day. And then all week long, it's been like either low 60s or mid 50s. So, I mean, it is cold, but if cold is relative, but if you're not prepared for the weather, that's when it becomes extreme.
In the morning, it's cold here. Yeah. And in my defense, we were, on a dock, kind of a long period of time. Yeah. So I think it was just having the air and the water, like right underneath my feet. And my hands were like frozen. So after like a while, I was like, oh my gosh, I better move or I'm going to have every appendage amputated.
Yeah. Well, too, and with the sun rising, the temperature does drop before the sun actually makes it up higher because the hot air, the air changes in the atmosphere and causes the cold air to drop. And so the heat will rise, but eventually once the sun hits us, it'll catch up with us. But it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I was glad that I had the opportunity to meet up with Matt during his trip, because I kind of like a couple weeks before I was like, you know what? I'm on duty and you know, the week before, and we have a lot of stuff that we really need to do around the house. Matt's coming down. I said, you know what? I'm just going to ask for the week off. And so it was, I asked my boss man, I said, hey, can I take this week off? He goes, sure. And so I was like, woohoo. And
nice.
So I was able to do that and was able to catch up with Matt because last time, I think it was a lot colder and there was more snow when we got together up in York, Pennsylvania.
Yes. Yeah.
My phone kept shutting down. So I had my backup battery and a cable in my pocket here just in case it decided to do the same thing, but it wasn't nearly as cold as it was over there.
Michelle in chat room says it was 19.4 degrees Fahrenheit here today. And like I said, she's only 20 minutes away from me.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah. It's cold again. What's up with the laugh?
20 degrees. Yeah, we had I'm just glad he wasn't here for the 10 degrees that we had. It was that was rough, you know, even when you get bundled up and you're ready for it. Cuz it was like one work day, it was 10 degrees in the morning. And I remember getting out of the truck to go into the shop to get some material. And I was like, oh, man, you know, the sun had come up and I got out of the truck. It's like, oh, I got to take my jacket off before I start sweating. And it was a little bit warmer. And I looked at the temperature and it said 16 degrees. I'm like, well, I guess 16 degrees is better than 10. And
yeah.
All right. So very cool. Let's see here. What have I been up to? I had a few things that I did this weekend. I actually took some portraits for the ranger group, the district office that I am a part of. I'm on executive staff and I maintain the website and I do the newsletter and all that. And so I emailed everybody. I say, hey, let's all coordinate, wear the same uniform. And I was like, we'll set it up before we have our banquet and I'll get everybody's portrait. And so I was like, all right, I'm like prepping on the way there. I'm like thinking in my head, how am I going to do this? You know, what is it going to look like? And, you know, how is it going to, here, look at this, just scroll through those. You know, what am I going to do? I have to, you know, kind of mentally prepare when you're going off to do something, you mentally, you know, prepare. Typically, if you show up going, I guess I'll just get something if I can, it doesn't turn out. And so I'm mentally preparing myself. And I brought my big camera with me, the 6D, and a reflector. And I was like, I think I'm going to have to use a reflector. I don't know if I will or whatever. Might as well bring it. And so I ended up the only place that I could shoot was on the stage. And it was purple this and monitors and everything. And I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have to drown out all the background and use flash. And so I had a friend of mine hold the reflector, and I pointed my speed light towards the reflector and got the shots. And I have to say, I was actually pleasantly surprised on what I got. You couldn't see anything in the background. I used a low depth of field to kind of give a portrait, like the portrait mode on the dual lens cameras, the iPhones, to give that type of a look. And so I was pleasantly surprised. I thought to myself, you know, I should be true to myself and use my iPhone like I do with everything else. But I wanted it to be a little bit different. And I also wanted to kind of push myself to see what I could get and what kind of results I could get. And I have to say, I enjoyed them. Matt, what did you think of the photos?
Yeah, they're quite impressive. Like yesterday when you told me about the situation and then showed me the photos, you know, I thought, you know, the way that you thought about how to achieve a result, you know, that was going to look pleasing despite all those obstacles, it was a very good idea. And the thing I really like about it too is that, you know, the way that you bounce the light in, it's coming from the side, so it gives the picture a lot of depth rather than just having a flash just kind of blasting the front of the person. And then even not on all of the pictures, but some of the pictures, you do get that kind of depth of field effect with the flag that's behind them. It's like a little bit out of focus, so that adds even more depth to the picture. But there's none of those distracting elements that you mentioned, the monitors, the purple colors, none of that's in the picture. And they look very professional. I'm impressed.
Thanks. Yeah, I had to talk one of the guys through because I had to have my picture taken also. And so I had to, you know, tell him, okay, look at this picture. I want you to frame it the same way. And the first picture he got, my head was like directly in the center of the picture and cut me off right at the chest. I'm like, okay, let's adjust it down. You go, oh yeah, I see what you're talking about. And so what I'll do is I'll probably post that photo plus what the background actually looked like from looking at the stage so that you have a good idea of what that looks like. So I did that. And also I've been, you know, taking some other photos. The one thing actually I did the other night, I got into the game Minecraft because of my children. They wanted to play it. And so we actually got them devices and got them on Minecraft, and I figured, okay, if my children are going to be on Minecraft, I might as well jump in there and figure it out, because I don't want my kids to do something and me not understand it or not really know what's going on. So I might as well jump on it too. And I have to say, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. I've been learning a lot. But I made a video on my iPhone of Minecraft of a pirate ship that I built in there because I wanted to show my brothers. My brothers are big into Minecraft also. And so the kids get to, you know, communicate with their cousins and their uncles and all in this game. But I used the screen record to go through and kind of give a little tour of the Minecraft. I was like, that is a great option that we have on our iPhones, is to be able to record our screens. So, you know, we've talked about doing apps, being able to go into an app and show our processing that we do on our images. But then, you know, there's other aspects that you can do, like video games or anything else. I think that is a probably underappreciated aspect of our phones. So I'll probably try to post it. I think I have, no, I don't have it on YouTube. I'll probably post it on YouTube and then put it in for everybody to see. And I was actually curious. I saw that it recorded all the sounds of Minecraft, and I just kept quiet because I didn't know if it was going to pick me up. But there's no words, but you know, you can hear a lot of the noises in the game. But I had a lot of fun with that. All right,
I was saying about Minecraft. I've seen walkthroughs that people do and some of the stuff they build. I saw one guy actually made a model of the Enterprise.
Oh, geez.
From Star Trek in Minecraft. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot more patience than I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's really impressive. Like I say, it's really impressive what people can do in there.
It is a, you know, if you put your mind to something and you want to be able to do something, you can. If you're in the creative mode, which you're allowed everything and anything, you can do it. But if you're, you know, doing things by the rules, it takes a very long time to be able to do. But I'll post it so that everybody can see, and it, you know, it's not very high quality, but it's still, I think, you know, really neat to be able to do that. And I actually thought about doing some recordings with my son, and sort of like the adventures of Franklin and Joe, and being able to go and you know, play around on it, and I would record it, you know, on my phone. So that is yet to be, you know, probably seen. But all right, well, let's go ahead and do this. Let's move into, let's call it some news. Let's do this app jingle.
It's that simple to put the app right on the phone.
Can I help?
I haven't used that in a while.
We haven't done a show in a while.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let me address that real quick. So I posted an update audio on Sunday, sort of what has been happening with the Tiny Shutter show. So,
and it sounded really good, except for the bad parts.
Except for the bad parts, which were examples.
Yes.
I was kind of nervous. I'm not very good with doing monologues, and so I was actually pleasantly surprised that I was able to do that all in one sitting. What's been going on with the show is we've been battling audio issues where either one person or everyone is having problems with their what they hear and if they can be heard or whatever. And Skype has been a major thorn in our sides for probably the last 5-6 months. And so we've been trying to come up with a solution, and I think we've found it. And actually, Mark was supposed to get me the names of a couple people who have signed up on Patreon to help support the show. Mark called me. He goes, "Hey, we got two new Patreon pledges." I'm like, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Well, nice. It probably has to do with our, you know, the little episode that I put out.
Our plea for help.
Our plea for help." Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was, that was very encouraging. I'm not one to ask for help. You know, it's just, it's hard for me to do that, but I think people sometimes look for a opportunity to help or be a part of something. And, you know, and so I put that out there, and I actually waited a day. I recorded it on Saturday. I waited on Sunday just to kind of, you know, mull through my head on, is this really, you know, what I want to, you know, put out there? And I decide, yeah, it is. Because we want to be able to bring a product that we're proud of. just because, you know, we do this every week, we have fun, you know, we don't want this to be something that is, that sounds terrible. People don't want to hear terrible audio. And I think we found a solution in the Zencastr. And I'm not afraid to pay for it. I think this is something that we are probably going to go with. I talked to my brother about, who works for a voiceover IP company. And, I kind of talked to him about our situation, and he said that, you know, it sounds like, you know, we have probably the best option. You know, he said for them, you know, to go through them would probably be overkill, especially in the price. But, you know, this is something we're committed to. You know, I was reminiscing over dinner with Matt that, you know, we've been doing this for 6 years. You know, I came on about a year, 6 months in, about a year, sort of in the background, helping out with the show notes. And then they pulled me on, you know, to be on a microphone. And, that was 5 years ago. This show's been going on for 6 years. And, you know, this is something that I think is going to go for quite a while. And, you know, with both Dave and Greg jumping on, you know, there's been new life that has come into this this podcast, the show, and the growth that we've seen in Facebook has really helped us, motivated us. And so we don't want to bring something that is, you know, halfway there. We want to bring something that sounds good and that that everybody is not being distracted by, you know, people falling out here and there, or we're repeating ourselves because we can't hear each other. And that was very frustrating. We were, you know, very frustrated in those shows. And when we got frustrated, you know, the time went by, it got late, and next thing you know, it's already midnight and we couldn't do anything. So I just wanted to say, you know, thank you to everybody for being patient with us, you know, understanding that, you know, we've been having some audio issues, but I think we have ourselves a solution. So I just wanted to give everybody that little update from the update that we had earlier. So
I'm glad it's working out.
Yeah, me too. So, all right, having said that, let's talk about this app called Focus. And I'm going to actually hand it off to Matt.
All right, yeah, this is a an app that I know Greg and I have mentioned a couple times in the whenever we last did a real episode of this show, however long ago that was. In any case, I guess the reason we're talking about this is mostly just because it's cool. And I was playing with it this evening and showing Joe, and he thought it was pretty cool. So if anyone doesn't know what this is, it's basically an app that aims to bring DSLR-like photography to the dual-camera iPhones. So your iPhone 7 Plus, 8 Plus, and iPhone 10s. It basically simulates large apertures and real bokeh effects. And what it does, it uses portrait mode and portrait mode shots and tries to make them look a little bit more professional by adding realistic and customizable bokeh effects. So, you know, basically you have a lot of control with this picture. You could simulate basically any aperture that you want, for the most part, from a really wide open aperture, you know, something like f2 or f2.8, down to a more closed aperture that's going to give you, you know, more depth of field where more of your picture is in focus. You could also change the shape of like your bokeh. So basically when people talk about bokeh, that's kind of like the little like out of focus highlights, like in the background of your picture. And, you know, normally when you have like a little highlight or something like that, that's out of focus, it tends to be usually like a round shape, like a, you know, a circle or a sphere or something. But you could change those highlights to kind of look like stars and hearts and squares and octagons and all these different shapes if you want to do something that's kind of fun and different or whatever. It does offer tap to focus like after shooting. So you take your picture, and then if you decide that like, oh, the focus isn't where I want it, or I wonder what it would look like if this object in the extreme background or the extreme foreground was in focus instead of the person in the middle, you could tap on those different parts of the pictures to change the focus. So that's kind of fun. But one of the things that's really cool that they just did is they had an update, and they're on version 1.2, so they're, you know, not too many versions of this app. But what they did was they added lens presets. So the neat thing about this, there's 11 of them, and it basically simulates the bokeh effect of like a whole bunch of different lenses. So there's like some Minolta lenses and Leica lenses and a whole bunch of lenses that I never even heard of before. There's a Carl Zeiss lens, Olympus, Helios, never heard of that, and a couple other ones. But basically you could go in and, you know, you could tap on these different lenses, and if you're really watching like the blurred background, that's like where you can really see the change and kind of see what these lenses are doing. And then you could also combine the effects of these lenses and kind of make your own like custom lens. And pretty positive that you could save that then as kind of like a preset. I haven't played with it to that extent, but I'm pretty positive that is something you can do. And it's just,
yeah, I think you can.
Okay.
I think you can. Yeah.
Right on. So, it's just, something that I think adds like just a lot of like really cool and different functionality to the portrait mode on these dual lens iPhones. Like portrait mode by itself is awesome, and I think it works really well. I've been pretty much nothing but impressed with it. But this shooting with this focus app, or even just going back and playing with photos that I took in portrait mode and loading them into this app and playing around with the features has been just super fun. There's just all kinds of different effects and things you can do. Greg, I know you've played with this a little bit. Do you have anything to say about it?
Basically what I like the best is the fact that you can alter the depth of field. You know, I think you can change it before and like in front of and behind the focal point, which is kind of cool, depending on the photo, I guess. I don't know. And then I believe there's some different things you can do. Like there's a vivid setting, and when I hit that, I think it actually can alter the dynamics of the bokeh in that it can change the, basically the saturation of it compared to the rest of the image. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. And it definitely makes the bokeh more intense from like a contrast and maybe saturation standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. And highlights is another setting where you can make the bokeh part of the image lighter or darker, which is kind of a cool thing. So you can better isolate say, the foreground of the image and tone down the bokeh in the background so that your subject stands out a little better. That's pretty cool. I haven't played around with this enough yet, but over the next few weeks, I'm going to dive into it a little deeper and just kind of get a better grip of what these things do.
The other thing about this app that's pretty unique and kind of trippy is that it allows you to see the depth of field in kind of a three-dimensional space. So this is kind of hard to explain, but if you go to their if you go to the App Store and look up the app and look at the screenshots or whatever, you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. But there's a button in the app, it's called Effect, and when you hit that button, it basically takes your picture and it's almost like it rotates it 90 degrees, and it's almost showing you like slices of the focus from the front to the back. And so it has the photo separated basically into like two halves, the back bokeh and the front bokeh, it calls it. And there's a little slider, and you can jog the slider from right to left to turn the photo 90 degrees to the left or the right, and you can actually see exactly like how it's breaking down the picture on all these like kind of like focus planes. It's really just crazy. I don't actually know like what real function it serves, other than I guess if you want to change the focus point of the picture or whatever, you could kind of see how that's affecting the areas either in front of or behind that point. But it's actually just fun to play with because it just looks super duper crazy.
What it kind of looks like is, if you've ever seen like a glass or an acrylic cube with a photo inside of it that has been rendered 3D, and you know, when you turn that sideways, you could see each slice of the image as it was etched in. And that's how this kind of looks.
I'm looking at slices right of now, the image. And that is sweet. I was able to adjust it, and you know, it does slice it up to show. But that is really cool. And actually, Greg's cousin's in the chat, and she said, Greg showed me that today, that 3D effect, and it's very cool. I agree. And so, yeah, I've never seen that before. That is awesome.
Yeah, I played with it on Ruth's phone, and having that 3D look makes it a little bit, at least in my mind, a little bit easier to think, especially when you have blurry edges to an image, where the built-in app, even though it tries to get, you know, sees, say, okay, this is your foreground, I'm going to look for the edge. If it's someone's face and their hair, some kinds can blur and it doesn't actually get it. This app, even you, like Matt was saying, you could take it from the built-in, as long as you're in portrait mode, the built-in camera app, import it into the focus app, and then tilt it sideways in and actually say, okay, I'm going to move this here, so I want that in the foreground, even though it wasn't picked up before, and this, and you can change the amount of blur independently in the foreground and background. So it gives you that extra little fine-tuning that the built-in app just doesn't give you.
Together, if you really want to be blown away by this, take a photo with the front-facing phone, and how much more accurate that rendering is, because that camera is far better at reading depth information than the rear cameras on the iPhone.
I'm gonna have to try that. That's intriguing.
Oh, it's mind-blowing how much more accurate it is.
Yeah, very cool. I like it. I wish I had the capability, but of course, you know, I didn't go for the plus or the 10. So one of these days I'll have to upgrade, and I think it'd be the 10 because I like the form factor. It is a lot, you know, better for me than the plus is. All right. Is there anything else with this app that you wanted to bring up, or are we good?
No, just wanted to point it out just because it's pretty cool and fun to play with. And we'll definitely have this in the show notes, I believe. But in case you're trying to look it up now, it's spelled FOCOS.
And I did do a blog post I mentioned on the last full episode that we did about how it segues into the app, but I talk about how the gap is getting closer between mobile and DSLR photography, but this app is the catalyst that's really, really bringing it in. I think it's just amazing what it does.
Yeah.
So you could go to shotoniphoneonly.com and have a look at that. It's not too long of a read. And there's some screenshots from the app.
Very cool.
Now, one thing I do want to mention before we leave the app is the app is free and it gives you a good amount of functionality. But unlike other apps, the upgrade to get full is either a monthly subscription for 99 cents, a yearly subscription for $5.99, or a one-time payment of $9.99, at least in the U.S. App Store.
Yeah, and Matt and I both went for the just buying it outright.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Dave. I totally forgot about that. I just paid the $9.99 because I just thought this is way too cool.
Yeah, very cool. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to what else they're going to be doing. It sounds like a pretty good up and coming app. So, all right. Well, let's see here. Oh, I wanted to mention something real quick before we move on to post pick of the week. I was able to use my. Matt's over taking selfies. I was able to show Matt my Apple Watch and how I was able to take pictures, because he mentioned something when he was going to take a picture. He goes, "Oh man, I wish I had a 3-second delay with the app that he was using," or something like that, or you know, a way to, you know, trip the shutter without actually touching the screen. And I was like, "Oh yeah, I got my my watch." And so I showed him. He goes, "Oh man, shut up, don't do that."
But yeah, Halide does not have a self timer.
No, but it was cool because when we did our sort of picture of ourselves out on the dock, I used my watch to take the photo. I have a 3-second delay on the watch, and I can look through the watch through the lens to be able to see, you know, how we were standing and if anything was being cut off or anything like that. So that was a very fun and cool feature to be able to use out on the hike. So I thought I'd mention it. If you have an Apple Watch and are able to see through the lens of your camera, if you have to be very still, it's a great option to have to be able to take the picture without actually touching the screen. Or if you want to be in the photo, you can set it up on a tripod like we did and go and stand in the images view and take the picture.
And you can even tap to focus on the watch as well, as long as you're using the native camera app.
Yes, and you can't just do the quick swipe and be able to see through the lens. You actually have to open it up and unlock the phone in order to have that option to be able to see through the lens. I think that's a safety feature.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move into our post pick of the week. All right. And this week it is Dave's turn. So Dave, go ahead and take it away.
Oh, thanks, Joe. And actually, this is the end of, this has to be our longest running photo challenge that we've had.
Partially on purpose and partially because we didn't have an episode a couple times.
Exactly. And this is the end of new, which is good since we're getting near the end of January. I picked one from, and the person's name on the group is CH space AD. And it was posted in the Facebook group called Start of a New Day. iPhone 7 Plus tweaked in gallery app. Looks like Catamaran possibly, or I'm not that familiar with boats, to be honest, but just a really nice scene looking on a possibly a bay or some kind of, I don't know if it's like the edge of the ocean somewhere, and just various boats getting ready. Looks like headed off for the start of the day. And it's not 100% symmetrical, but the main boat that's kind of in the front is right there in the middle with the reflection. I just love the look it gives you there, and the other boats around it. Just really, really nice picture in my mind.
What are your thoughts, Greg?
I really like this image. I like the way I like something with a blue sky that's reflected in the water. The cloud formations are cool. It has different layers of clouds, poofy clouds in the horizon, and it comes up and it has, like, I don't know my cloud formations or the names or whatever, but up in the center of the frame, in the upper part of the frame, the clouds actually looks like they're going two different directions, and they look like really thin layers of cloud. And I'm not a big proponent of a horizon line in the middle of the frame, but for this image, it seems to work. This boat, whatever kind of boat it is, it looks like possibly a catamaran, but it's got a mast that goes up in the center with a flag on it, and that's reflected down in the bottom, like in the bottom of the frame, in the water. And I would have thought that if he took a little bit off the bottom of the image to offset the horizon line, it would have been okay. But with that deep reflection of the mast, I think it works well the way it is. So the only thing that draws my eye is it looks like a small boat on the left-hand side of the frame. If he was to crop that out, I think that would have ruined it. So pretty much had to leave it there. But I mean, other than that, it's a really cool frame. And, you could have cropped a little bit off top and bottom, maybe to go like a widescreen TV type ratio. And that would have worked too. But overall, it's a nice frame. I like the colors, and he nailed the essence of a early morning day.
Very cool. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm liking the picture too. Pretty much I agree with just about everything that Greg said, including his comments sort of about the format and crop of the picture. So I definitely think that this would be a fantastic image to have cropped in the like the HD or the 16:9 format. And I also think that while I guess it would throw the symmetry of the image off slightly, getting rid of basically all that stuff at the left side of the frame, I think would be extremely beneficial, or even just using an app like Touch Retouch to just kind of clone out those few little things on the left edge, I think would help a lot. But other than that, I mean, it is awesome. That reflection's awesome. It's definitely a unique boat. It's a pretty cool picture.
Yeah, I like it. It's you know, definitely for this time of year, you know, this does take you away from the winter scene. And yeah, the fact that if this is like the ocean, it's very striking on how smooth the water looks, you know, because most ocean areas don't have enough of a calmness to get such a reflection. Mostly lakes mainly lakes are ones that you can get good reflections off of. So it just seems very peaceful, very calm, and I like it. So very good. Well, congratulations, CHAD. I don't know how to say that.
I wonder if it's Chad.
Is it Chad, just with the space in between this H and the A? We'll say Chad.
I just did a quick search on where he tagged, where the photo was from. And see here, Dugamet, I know I pronounced that incredibly wrong, city, is in Philippines.
Oh, the Philippines.
And it looks like it is a bay in, let's see if it gives the sea here. It does not give the sea, but it's between the Sulu Sea and the Philippine Sea.
Oh, very cool.
On the edge of the Pacific Ocean. So, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
So, yeah, definitely a bay in the ocean there. So, it looks like, like I said, just in terms of how smooth it is, it's just really nice.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. You are the post pick of the week. If you're interested in becoming Post Pick of the Week, go on to our Facebook group and look for our weekly photo challenge. And every 2 weeks, we come up with a new challenge, and people will come on and add their photos. And then we, unfortunately, can only pick one. And then on the off week, we go to Instagram and we choose from our Tiny Shutter hashtag, which actually Instagram has now allowed you to follow. So you can, if you want to follow the Instagram crowd, the Tiny Shutter crowd, go on to Instagram and hashtag Tiny Shutter, and you can follow the hashtag. So that's very cool.
The All Tiny right. Shutter crowd is the Instagram crowd.
That's right. All right. And so now we have to choose a new weekly photo challenge. And Dave, do we have any takers?
I put this out in the chat room.
Did Greg put this?
And Warren came up with an idea of patterns.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, I like that.
All right.
Yeah. Well,
patterns it is. So we'll put this out, and I'll put this on the Facebook group tonight, and which would be Thursday night, in which everybody will find out on Saturday who are not in Facebook what it is, and it'll be patterns. And so, all right. I think that'll work.
Oh, and this is also a good reason if you want to join us live on Thursday nights for recording at 9:30 Eastern time in the Mixler group. This gives you a little bit of a head start because you can actually listen live while we actually pick and announce the new topic.
Yeah. Very cool. All right.
And I would like to note just real quickly that Warren Opheim in the chat room heads up a little community called the Artful Eye Photography Community, and it's on the Mighty Bell Network. So there's a website called I should have looked this up before I opened my big mouth. ArtfulEyePhotography.mn.co is the website, and there's also a Mighty Bell iPhone app where you can join into the community and whatnot. And there's a lot of folks from the Tiny Shutter community in there. But I believe all of us are. And yep. it's a pretty cool thing. There's 400 and some members. And
weekly challenge.
Hey,
I think he does a weekly challenge in the group.
Yes. Yes, he does. And right now it is,
I think it's in a row.
Yes, in a row. Things in a row. So the profile picture for things in a row for that theme is a bunch of these big chess pieces that looks like possibly an outdoor chess set. And these pieces look like they're pretty big. Either that or it's a tabletop and it's kind of a deceptive image.
Yeah.
But usually whoever submits the first image of the theme gets to have their image up as the kind of like our post pick of the week goes on the Facebook header.
Oh, sweet.
Warren puts the image on and that's lets everybody know that that's what it's all about.
Oh, and he has
it's pretty cool.
He has a dot photography website, so it's artfully.
Oh, okay.
Dot photography. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, I didn't realize the domain had changed, but yeah, that's excellent. So yeah, it's a pretty cool community too. So between that one and our Facebook group, there's a lot of good folks there. Never seen an issue really. A lot of fun, lots of ideas thrown around, and tons of great photos to look at.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, is there anything else that you guys want to bring up? Because I think we have ourselves a show.
Oh, sounds good. Just this kind of our weekly update of 1,724 members in the Facebook group.
Sweet.
Nice. No, I think we better get – well, the getting's good, guys.
Yeah, total agreement.
All righty. Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Well, if you want to participate with the show and help to kind of sponsor us or, you know, become a part of what we'll call is the producers, Patreon. We go to Tiny Patreon and look for Tiny Shutter. And I think what we need to do as a group, the four of us, is come up with some ways of being able to show our appreciation for those who are supporting us. And so I'd like to come up with some neat things that are fun that can sort of like gifts for people who come on to support us in our show. So be on the lookout for that. And to those, I know Greg is a monthly supporter, and who's the other one? Is it
Matt DeVore.
And then the two others, we're going to get their names on the producerships for starting with this show. And so in the show notes, you'll be able to see who is helping. If you don't want your name on there, just let me know. You know, we want to say thank you to you guys for what you're doing and in helping us. And, you know, it's an honor to have you guys listening and supporting us. All right. Well,
Of course, if there's any ideas that our listeners have for the show, topics, whatever, don't be afraid to put them in the Facebook group, because we're always checking that, and you know, we'll certainly consider anything.
Sure. Now, if people are asking for video of us talking, good luck. Nobody wants to see my ugly mug.
Oh. You're gonna make me clean the room on then. Oh no.
That's right. All right. Well, cool. Well, let me go ahead and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Barely.
Dave, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure, you can find me on Instagram as ProfPod. And if you use the Mission Pick app, I'm also in there as ProfPod.
Excellent. Greg?
I am on Instagram, and my name is at ShotOnIPhoneOnly. My website is ShotOnIPhoneOnly.com. And on Twitter, I am ShotOnAnIPhone.
Excellent. Matt?
You can check me out on Instagram, I am, and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Excellent. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our show notes, our YouTube channel, our Facebook group, all by going, and our Patreon, all by going to tinyshutter.com. All right, gentlemen, it is that time. Let's say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, everybody.
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe!
Barely.